Can anybody remind me of the title of this sermon? Listen. Are you sitting comfortably? So I heard the story of a husband and wife who were talking together at the end of a day. And the wife was recounting her day in every detail of what had gone on during the course of her day. The husband had one eye on the crossword on his iPad, one eye on the sport on the television, and had sort of developed the talent of grunting and of nodding and of mmm-ing and aha-ing at all the right times. One or two men here are obviously nodding in sympathy with this. We learn this at school, ladies, the grunting and the aha-ing and stuff. It's all taught there. The husband suddenly became aware that the wife had stopped speaking. And he looked up carefully to find the wife staring at him with a look of contempt and exasperation. It was then that Jan said to me... Oops, gave that away a little bit there. She said, "You're not listening, are you?" And I said, "Yes, dear." And she said, "What did I just say?" Now, at this point, you've got two options, haven't you? The first one is to guess. And you know, maybe there's a 10% chance that something's sort of filtered through and you'll be okay with the rest of it, and you might just get away with it. But generally speaking, you're doomed if you guess, because it's clear that you haven't been listening for the last few seconds or so. Well, the second thing I found quite helpful, actually, is to collapse into a fit of giggles at being caught out. Did you know? Just collapse into a fit of giggles, apologise profusely, and just try cajoling her when she says, "Well, I'm not telling you now." He says, "Oh, come on, darling, tell me that." "No, I'm not telling you now." "Come on, darling, tell me that." So the thing is, right, there's a difference between knowing someone is speaking and actually listening. There's a difference between hearing and listening, because you know, you can hear sounds going on, but when you listen, you engage, you understand, and you act upon those words. Got that now? Understand that now, darling. Darling. So what's that? What's that noise? Have you heard that noise this morning? I think it's God speaking. Because God speaks to us all of the time in loads of different ways. And that's what we'll be thinking about this morning. So how are we going to hear? How are we going to listen? Like that despicable husband, distracted with other focuses in his life? Or are we going to listen? What are you saying, Lord? What are you saying to me? And then, yes, Lord, I will. It's been quite interesting, hasn't it? This series we've been in, this Encountering God series, just five lessons that first week and the second week were about preparing ourselves to come to encounter God, about being reconciled before we come to worship with those whom we know and love. And then about being humbled as we come to worship and, you know, not lording it over others and that kind of thing. And then we looked at Psalm 95, and we've been here for three weeks now. And the first two have been about praising the Lord and singing and shouting and then about bowing down. These are obvious elements of worship. But they're all heading towards this point, the last verses of the psalm, which are about listening. Do you remember how we talked about how this psalm was used in Old Testament sort of liturgy? As the pilgrims gathered towards the temple to worship, the leader of worship would call out to them, "Come, let us sing for joy, let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." And they'd enter the courts with singing and shouting and praising of God. And then they come into the inner courts, and the leader of worship would say, "Come, let us bow down, let us kneel, let us recognize who this God is that we are worshipping." It's about right action. It's about right attitude before the Lord. And then having done this, having cleared the ground so there's no barriers between us and him, having lifted our eyes and our voices and our hands in praise, having humbled ourselves before him, now comes the important part. And that is to listen to what the Lord has to say to us. Because this is where we encounter God, as he speaks to us, as we listen to him, as we take his words on board and do what he says. You see, God's not speaking because he likes to hear the sound of his voice. God's speaking to us for our benefit and for our blessing. To help us to get to know him, to encourage us, to inspire us, to challenge us, to discipline us and train us, to help us to grow to maturity in him. You see, this is where we encounter God. So, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. Where do we start? Today. So the psalm is in the liturgy of the temple. We don't know when it was written for sure, but probably hundreds of years after the incident referred to in Massah and Meribah. If you want to check that out, it's in Exodus chapter 17, verse 7, and Numbers chapter 20, verse 13. But I'll tell you, the people of Israel were in the wilderness heading towards the promised land. They'd seen the Lord deliver them from slavery in Egypt. They'd seen him deliver them from Pharaoh's rule. As slaves, making bricks and stones and things for the pyramids. They'd crossed the Red Sea, that miraculous event. They'd seen a fiery pillar and a cloud leading them day and night away from Egypt and towards the promised land. They'd had quail and manna given to them day after day that they might feed and not starve in the wilderness. And they'd heard the Lord say to them through Moses, "I am your God, and you are my people. Come, follow me, trust me, and I'll take you into the promised land." And after all of that, the people of Israel said, "Oh, I wish we hadn't left. Wish we'd stayed where we were. Oh, at least we had meat there, and it's much better than it is here." You see, the Lord had spoken to them, but their hearts were hard there at Meribah and at Massah. So that was hundreds of years before this moment in Psalm 95, where the psalmist, or the worship leader, says, "Now today, if you hear his voice." Then actually, if you go ahead into the New Testament, in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, you'll see this psalm quoted. And there the writer says, look, God spoke then, God spoke through the psalmist, and now God is speaking again, today. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." In other words, do you see, even here in Scripture, or particularly here in Scripture, God is saying, "I've spoken down through the ages. Therefore, I am still speaking today." Do you get it? God speaks today. And the message is, listen, don't turn away from this living God and what he has to say to you. You can hear his voice today. So today, if you hear his voice, how does God speak to us? I'm just going to break this into two, really. Because the Lord has spoken in at least three ways. And through these things, he still speaks to us today. And these are timeless truths. And the Lord continues to speak to us today by his Holy Spirit in timely ways to our hearts. So let's have a look at these timeless ways, first of all. First and foremost, it's the Bible. It's Scripture. It's the Word of God and the written Word of God. The Bible, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, but one book, the Bible. Lots of different authors, but actually inspired, each of them inspired by God, for this to be his revelation to humankind, as he inspired the writers. So look what God says about his word in Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you see, this is what God's provided Scripture for, to trainers and teachers and rebukers and correctors and help us to grow and be equipped for every good work. And also, it says, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And that's, you'll have that in your experience, I'm sure, as you've read the Bible. So it reads you, and it prompts you, and it prods you, and it convicts you, and it convinces you about truth that you need in your life. You want to know about God, his nature, his character, his attributes, then it's here in Scripture. You want to know about the world, its past, its present, its future, then it's here in Scripture. Do you want to know about people, about sinfulness, about salvation, those truths about humankind that actually most of the world don't know anything about? It's here in Scripture. Do you want to know principles for living a fulfilled life as God meant it to be? Then it's here in Scripture. Do you want to know about the history of the people of God? Then it's here in Scripture until the end of the first century or so. The Bible is the supreme way in which God has spoken, and in which he still speaks to us today. And that's why we preach every week. That's why our children's clubs have Bible stories or a message from the Bible every week without fail. That's why Wednesdays at 2 has someone speaking from Scripture. That's why we study the Bible at our prayer care groups. That's why we read the Bible in our personal devotions. This is God's word, God's wisdom, God's ways. Drink it in and let it shape you. I won't say too much about the interviews with the youth workers, but I did ask both of them what they thought an evangelical was and what the word evangelical meant. Sadly, so we'll have to train young Jamie, missed out on this point. But an evangelical is a Bible-based Christian. You see, the Bible is the foundation of all that we think and all that we do, all the things we put into place. Everything is rooted here in Scripture. We're people of the Word, we're people of the Book, we're Bible-believing Christians, and we're proud of it. Say yes, Ian. Say amen, everyone. Amen. Did you mean that? Say it again.
Yes,
as if you mean it. Now, the Bible also tells us of two other ways, at least two other ways, that God has spoken to us in these timeless truths. And the next one is Jesus, his Son. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Now, when the writer to the Hebrews was writing that letter, of course, Jesus was still in living memory. The New Testament was still being written and had not yet been formed. So for those people in those days then, Jesus was God's new revelation to the human race. They had the Old Testament, they had his revelation in Scripture in the Old Testament, and Jesus had been sent as another means of showing what God was like in a way that they could understand in human form. He's a big visual aid, if you like, for who God is. His life, his character, his teaching, his sacrifice that we've just celebrated here together show God's nature and God's love for us. Now, of course, they're contained. He is contained to a large extent in the pages of Scripture. So again, we come back to Scripture, don't we? And the third way that the Bible speaks of is creation. Isn't that lovely? Although the cloud looks a bit airbrushed, don't you think? But nevertheless, isn't that lovely? God's creation. And the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard for them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. And also Romans chapter 1 verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. See, God's glory, something of his beauty, is seen in sunset's splendor, in mountains' grandeur, in atoms' wonder. Creation points to the Creator, even the rain, Roger. Amen? Amen. God has spoken. We have no excuses. Scripture, Jesus, creation. All ways in which timeless truths have been spoken by God and which still speak to us today. Everything we need to know about him, everything we need to know about us, about sin, about salvation, God has already spoken. And it still speaks to our hearts today as we read this word. You know, we're moved when we look at the beauty of a sunset or the beauty of an intricate little flower, whatever it might be. We hear, don't we, from God and something about him in these things. You listening? You still listening? But sometimes God speaks in other ways. You know, perhaps we're not listening to these ways and we need a prompt or a reminder. Perhaps we are listening, but we're not sure and we need confirmation perhaps in our hearts. Perhaps we find ourselves in a situation and we need guidance. Maybe something that God just wants to wake us up with. And he does this by his Holy Spirit prompting. And these are timely words. By that I just mean, you know, these are words for today. Words for a situation that we might find ourselves in. So God the Father inspired the written word of God. God the Son became the living word of God. And now the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, gets in on the act by bringing God's word for us direct to our hearts and minds. And he does this in lots of ways. And what follows now for the next few minutes, you know, is just a skimming over the surface, really. Some of these you might want to call natural ways that God speaks to us. Some of them you might want to call supernatural ways that God speaks to us. Really, they're all supernatural because God is speaking to us. And that's supernatural, isn't it? Sometimes it's our circumstances. God can use all sorts of ways to get our attention. I mean, there's a myriad of ways, aren't there? You know, our health or our healing, our work or our lack of work. For richer or for poorer, do you know, in sickness or in health. In abundance or in a shortage, in good things or in bad things. Stuff happens. And the question we need to ask in all of these things, in all of our lives, is what are you saying to me in this, Lord? Are you speaking to me in this, Lord? And what are you saying to me in this? And quite often, you know, it's about trust and dependence, because that's the most important thing in our lives. Sometimes it's stepping out in a new venture, going to a place that we've never been before because we thought we couldn't do it, do you know? It's about growth. It's about learning. Our circumstances, sometimes God speaks through. in that, we might need the help of other people. Because God has given us each other to encourage one another, to inspire one another, to challenge one another, to speak truth to one another. Sometimes, that other person knows what they're doing or saying. Sometimes they're completely oblivious to what they're doing or saying. But you hear that word, or you see that action, or you're prompted by that behavior. It speaks to you. And you think, the Lord's speaking to me. Or at least you will if you're listening and watching out for what he might say. And of course, all of this relies on our ability to hear that inner voice. Conscience, if you like. Holy Spirit prompting us within. And we all have that in different ways. And sometimes we get physical, don't we? Sort of heart pounding, you know, other physical things going on. Sometimes it's just that really strong sense that God is maybe speaking to us. And this really brings us to the more supernatural ways of God speaking. In dreams and visions, thoughts and ideas. There are many examples in Scripture of people who heard the Lord speaking to them in dreams and in visions. Obviously, sometimes when you're asleep, sometimes when you're awake but you're in prayer, sometimes, like me, when you're in the shower. Do you know? I get my best thoughts and ideas come in the shower for some inexplicable reason. But that's the way it is for me. But again, you need to say, Lord, what are you saying in this? We need to work it through, need to test it out. The Bible has words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy it speaks about, which may be some revelation to us that perhaps we oughtn't to have known naturally, but somehow we sense something about somebody or someone, you know, which the Lord just entrusted us with. And it may be we need to approach that person and prayer or as a messenger for what the Lord might be saying. You know, these are prophetic words that the Holy Spirit uses. And again, you'll have that prompt in the heart or that heart pounding or whatever it might be, that sense you have that the Lord might just be speaking more so than at any other time. Now listen, it's really important when hearing this still small voice or listening to dreams and pictures and thoughts and words that we handle them right. God will never speak in a way that conflicts with his already revealed truth in Scripture. And it, you know, if you have a dream or a vision or a thought or an idea or a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a sense of a word of prophecy, I encourage you to search the Scriptures, to ask God to confirm these words through his word. Or to approach somebody else and to say, look, I've got this thought, what do you think? To come to an elder. All the elders are wise, older people, mature in the faith. Bounce it off them. And if you get to the point of sharing this word or this prophecy or whatever it is, please do so humbly in a spirit of prayer. Because damage can be done if you're wrong or if it's said in the wrong way. So please, loads of checks. But please, let's open ourselves to what the Lord might be saying to us by his Holy Spirit and the promptings of our hearts. Clearly we could spend hours here, and perhaps we should at some point in the future. Especially as we want as a church, don't we, to be open to hearing God speak in our worship as we encounter him. The point of all this is that the living God speaks to us today. He's God. He can use whatever means he wants to speak to us. The question is, are we listening? Do we have open ears that we might hear what he is saying? I always find this hard to say. He who has ears, let him hear what the Lord is saying. Hearts ready to receive, and to act, and to obey. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as our ancestors did at Meribah and Massah And this is important, because the consequences for those people were huge. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, there are people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. You see, God speaks. He wants us to listen and obey. And if our hearts are hard, there's a danger of us missing out on God's ideal for our life. A danger of missing out on his blessing and beauty in our lives. So let's listen and respond. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word is living and active. We thank you, Lord, that you are a living God who longs, delights in speaking to your people, in seeing us respond, in seeing us grow into maturity, in seeing us move in the power of your Spirit as we encourage one another and challenge one another, inspire one another, and perhaps also speak the truth into one another's lives. We thank you, Lord, that your word isn't just a set of rules and regulations, Lord, that have, you know, over the centuries have become irrelevant and dry and dusty, but, Lord, are still fresh today, because they still speak to our hearts and still provide guidelines, Lord, that will lift our lives to places, Lord, that others can't go. So we praise you for all of this. But we do pray, Lord, that you would increasingly open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. That we, Lord, might be those who not only hear your word, but put it into action, Lord. That the houses we build will be built on rock, your rock, rather than on the sand of human wisdom. That we might stand in storms. And Lord, as a church, as Saltersford Church, Lord, as we seek to be more and more open to you speaking to us in our times of worship and in our lives as a whole, just, Lord, encourage us in this, Lord. Grant your gifts, we pray, Lord. Open hearts, Lord. May, Lord, people today receive, Lord, gifts of prophecy. Receive, Lord, gifts of words of knowledge and of wisdom. Have the ability, Lord, to hear from you and to speak out words, Lord, which will encourage, which will prove to us that you are speaking amongst us. Lord, move amongst us in your power, we ask and we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.